السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. After Zuhur every day, with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's fazl, for about 15-20 minutes, about 20 minutes we have a short talk. Over the past few days we have been discussing ghazab and anger. So instead of giving some other bayan, I decided to continue with the subject that we have been discussing, because it is very, very relevant, and we have a new audience on a Sunday. It's very relevant, it is causing a lot of friction, problem, division, fights, quarrels. Due to anger, so many marriages are breaking down. So many people are losing their lives because somebody got angry and pulled the trigger. So many people's job and employment was terminated because of their anger. They got very angry and they said something. So they said, if that's the case, then you can leave the job and go where you want. So they left their job, or their employment was terminated. In the same way, so many other things happened because of this anger. So I already explained in some detail over the few days that anger is a natural consequence of certain actions. It's a natural consequence. Somebody does something and it makes a person angry. Whether it is justified or not is another issue altogether. But it is always the consequence of some action of some person or the other. Or it could be some incident, some situation the person is facing. Now that is making him angry. Now as all the causes, or as far as all the causes are concerned, we all know what are the major causes. But each one in his or her own life, they know that what are the things that really make them angry. Now if it is a husband-wife relationship, then the husband should know what are the things that normally make the wife angry. Or the wife should know what are the things that make the husband angry. Children and parents, they again, the children must know what are the things that make our parents angry. And the parents must know what are the things that make the children angry. I'm talking about those legitimate things. If there is something that is making a person angry, and that what the person is doing, which is making this person angry, is according to Sharia, according to the Quran and Sunnah, but somebody is getting angry over this action, which is according to the Quran and Sunnah, so then this person does not have to be concerned that I have to make adjustment, I have to make amends, I have to change my lifestyle, I have to do something drastically different because somebody is getting angry. It doesn't mean that. For example, if a person is praying 5 times a day, is making his salat, and somebody is unhappy with that. The wife is unhappy with the husband's salat and his zakat and his honesty and truthfulness or whatever he may be doing. Now she is unhappy. Or she is unhappy because he wants to get rid of the TV and the movie. He wants to get rid of the Hollywood, Bollywood film from the house. He wants to stay away from those cinemas and rave clubs and other kinds of haram places. And unfortunately the person married a woman who is in the habit of going to these type of places or watching all these Bollywood films. So now if the husband wants to get rid of that and she is unhappy, so it doesn't mean now he must change his style, he must change his practice, he must change his action, and he must conform now to make the wife happy. In the same way, if the husband has got such kind of weaknesses, what number? What's the number? 558, 556, 585. Please move your car. The same, if the husband has got his bad habits, he's got drug habits, he's got some other kinds of habits, he wants to watch porn sites on the, or he wants to watch filthy films late night. There are so many husbands, they don't want to watch it alone. They want their wives to also watch with them. So now if the husband is demanding such kind of things, it doesn't mean now the wife, because the husband is getting angry, so now she must make a change. Here we are talking about those legitimate grounds. So there the people have to be very cautious and careful. So this anger is a thing like that, which I mentioned I think yesterday or day before yesterday, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three times he mentioned to that sahabi who asked for advice, said, La taghzab, don't get angry. Now it doesn't mean that the person mustn't get angry at all, otherwise how would have that sahabi made jihad? Can you make jihad without anger over the kuffar? So all we are saying is that there must be legitimate anger. The anger must be for legitimate reasons, and then it must be controlled. It must be according to the Sharia. It must be managed. The person must not just blow his fuse on every little thing, every trivial matter the person's fuse is blowing. So then he's going to cause major, major problems. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the Hadith Sharif, and if you look at the Quranic verses, there are so much of instructions that we have been given, so much of direction in all aspects of our lives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what was the reason for him to go into such detail on these aspects? We could have been just given a straightforward Sharia in a few pages. They would have been told, do this, do that, and finish. Or don't do this and don't do that. But that is the beauty of Islam. That is the love and compassion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for His creation. And the love and compassion and mercy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for His ummah. That anything that was going to be of benefit, He informed the ummah. And anything that was going to be of harm, then he informed the ummah, that restrain yourself from this, it's going to cause you harm. How many people in anger, they fire the bullets of talaq, and after that they go around searching for some mufti to give some fatwa, that three talaqs is one. And then they say, we gave it in anger. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say to the children, he said, bacho, باہر جا کر دیکھو غصہ اگر مل جائے تو اس کو لے آؤ ہم اس کو ذبح کر دیں find anger from outside bring him to slaughter him because it causes so much of problem. So we were discussing yesterday وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ that Allah تبارک و تعالی says وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْعَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So there were three things there. One was, of course, the first part was that we are told that we must hasten, race towards the maghfirat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's a lot of explanation, but we're discussing anger today. So we must make haste in this maghfirat, ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness, do those deeds and actions which will bring forgiveness from Allah ta'ala. Make tawbah, make istighfar over the shortcomings and weaknesses. Fulfill the commands of Allah ta'ala, restrain from all that is haram, then we'll get the forgiveness of Allah ta'ala. Then again, spending in all conditions, whatever the condition. The person is in prosperity, he's got abundance, he's got affluence, then at that time also he spends in accordance with his capacity. And when he doesn't have, there's adversity or there is some kind of tightening and narrowing of his sustenance for whatever reason. There are difficult times that he is experiencing in his life. And at that time also, the person must not stop and say, well, now I will not spend anything out of what Allah Ta'ala has given me until I have that affluence. Whatever is his capacity, he must spend according to that. And if he doesn't have that, he can share a little bit of the food that he has got. He can do something. And if he can't, then after that, it becomes permissible for him to go and beg himself. So that is a different subject, but we are talking about wal qaz, we mean al ghayz, it comes after that. That they swallow their anger. And here the swallowing means they suppress their anger. The meaning of qazm has been given because the Quran Sharif was revealed in accordance with or whatever was the understanding of those words at that time. These Arabs, they use the word qazm. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala did not say that, eliminate it altogether. He didn't say adimin, said qazimin. Because then it would have meant that the person must have just absolutely no anger. No anger must come at all. He must uproot it altogether. So that would have been unnatural. It would not have been possible. So Allah Ta'ala's kalam is full of balaghat, full of hikmat. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses qazimin. Meaning that these people, they suppress their anger. Anger will come, but they don't give vent to it. They don't just fire away the bullets as soon as they get angry, as happens now. In the month of Ramadan, we get calls. People say, Maulana, what must I do? My anger seems to increase in the month of Ramadan. They say, well, that is why Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says it's a month of sabr. Here, our days are short now. But when it's long days and the person has to do hard work also, and he hasn't eaten anything, and he can't drink anything, he hasn't eaten from dawn, and he won't be able to eat and drink till sunset. So every little thing agitates and irritates that person. And that is where we have to show our mettle, that how strong we are in our iman. Because if the person says that my fasting is now making me get angry, lose my temper, and take revenge, then what kind of a fast is that? I mentioned yesterday in the Bayan at the Hilal Masjid there, Jumu'ah Bayan, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati, falahu ajru mi'ati shaheen. There's a new audience here, so I'm repeating, and what does it matter if we go on repeating? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person who holds fast to my sunnah at the time that there is fasad in my ummah, when there's great amount of mischief, great amount of corruption, great amount of fasad in the ummah, people are making a mockery of the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they are making a mockery of the teachings of Islam. They have got a new ideology, or they've got a new version, or a reformed version of Islam, as we have reformed churches, so they also want to have a reformed version. Now these reformed versions are at such a time when there's such facade that you cannot even differentiate the haq from the batil. So at such a time now this person is holding fast to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he will get the reward of 100 martyrs. So discussing that hadith sharif, I said, that unfortunately we consider the sunnah to be just the sunnah of miswak, or just the sunnah of eating and drinking, or those sunnahs which are easy. No doubt that even those sunnahs are very, very significant, and the person must not consider it insignificant. Because if he makes his istighfar, if he considers it insignificant, and then leaves it out, then his iman is at stake. But at the same time, we must not think that that is the only sunnah that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been emphasizing on. Who has any doubt that the whole world, there's nothing but mischief, corruption, fitnas. There's fitnas in our homes, in our bazaars, marketplaces, and fitnas in the universities and colleges, and even fitnas in our masajid, and fitnas have entered the Haramain Sharifain. Haven't the fitnas entered the Haramain Sharifain? Don't we hear the cell phones kicking off with all the musical tones in the Haram Sharif, right at the Rosa Mubarak? Stand there sometimes and you'll listen to Bollywood and Hollywood music there. And besides that, what about all the other fitnas that have entered? Dajjal will come whenever he will come, but all the Dajjali fitnas have all begun. There is no doubt about that. The small, small fitnas of Dajjal, they have all begun. I mentioned some time back that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when speaking of those fitnas, just to give you the gist and the mafhum of that hadith sharif, he said, when he was on a high place and the sahabas were a little lower down, then he said, do you all see what I see? So he said, no, we don't. She said, I see fitnas raining into your home, like how rain pours on the roofs of people, like that fitnas raining. There is of course some discussion on that, but the lesson that we take from that Hadith Sharif is that there was no fitnas like that at that time when he spoke about it. But if we have to go to Madina Sharif and Makkah Sharif now, in Madina Sharif, most of the hotels, wherever they are built, what was there at one time? At one time, what was in those places? They were the homes of the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's prediction. It's only a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who could have predicted that and foretold that. At that time there was no fitna, but if you take those hotels now, which fitna is not there in those hotels? If the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in have to be given life, they come outside from the Qabristan there, and they take a walk around, and they are told to point out which was their home at that time. So that one Sahabi will say, this was my home. Somebody will say, this was my home. Somebody will say, this was my home. I had my small little home there. So he said, now go and see in that same home what is happening there. Nothing wrong with using those hotels. We are guests there. We have to use it. And it is 101% permissible. But I'm talking about the TVs and the movies and everything and the kind of magazines that come in there and the type of discussions that take place there and the type of loitering around in the foyers and intermingling between the men and women. And it is like a free-for-all that carries on in some of those five-star hotels. Now, if that Sahabi is told that that was, he says that was my home. That home in which they used to get up at night and make tahajjud and cry before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That home in which they used to decide the Quran Sharif, we do not know how many times they made tilawat of the Quran Sharif in those homes. How many times they went out for jihad from those homes. How many times the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in went out to assist the poor, the needy, the destitute, and the orphans, and the widows from those homes. How many times from those homes they must have gone to the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and returned from the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and conveyed to the people of the house the message that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave in his sermons, in his talks, in his waz, in his nasihats. How many times there they must have stood in prayers, long, long prayers. And how many times they must have made zikrullah. Now those homes, what do we find there if it's not fitnas? So therefore, when the time of fitnas comes, so then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, at that time, if a person holds fast to my sunnah, again we came on track, I was just wondering where we are going, that if he holds fast to my sunnah, then he will get the reward of 100 martyrs. So what kind of fast is that he is talking about? Or what kind of sunnati is talking about? Man tamassaka bi sunnati. It is not only miswak. It is not only whether we should eat the sweet dish before or after. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for the fasting also there is a sunnat way of fasting. For the salat also there is a sunnat way of performing the salat. For everything there is a sunnat way that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had. Now if that person keeps the fast in this month of Ramadan, in the way that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam kept the fast and asked us to keep the fast, then he will get even the rewards of the 100 martyrs on the fast in this month of Ramadan. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I think we are talking about Walqazimeen al-Ghayz, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us through his Hadith Sharif and through his waz and nasihats about the harm of this anger, that if it is unleashed without any control and management, then what it can do. So the Arabs, they used to use this word. They used to have those water bags, those huge water bags. Even now they have in many places, India, Pakistan, even in our countries. So they used to have those water bags. They used to fill that up, go to the well, fill up the bag, and then bring it home. So when the bag used to get full at that time, before the water overflows and comes out from the bag now, they used to tie it up tightly. They used to tie up the mouth of that bag before the water overflows. That's the time they used to use this word, qazm. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, wal qazimeena al-ghayz, that they are those people who suppress the anger, who swallow their anger. But the real meaning here that is given is this, that just as how those people, they used to tie up those bags, the mouth of the bag is tied tightly before the water overflows. In the same way, the mouth of this body, because the person now has got his heart filled with anger, and he is about to now utter all kinds of nonsense, he is about to fire the words of talaq, he is about to swear, he is about to say things which are going to be really harmful and injurious and even hurtful to himself too. It is going to cause him also a lot of harm and damage. So he straight away seals that mouth, like how they used to seal up those bags of water, he seals his mouth. That is the meaning. That means he doesn't allow that mouth to utter all those kinds of nonsensical talk. وَالْقَازِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ. And not only that, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they also, now these are the sifat, or these are the attributes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, that the jannat which is prepared, it has been prepared for the muttaqeen, for the people who have got taqwa in their lives. And we have been listening to the ayat of taqwa from the beginning of Ramadan, from before Ramadan, and we'll continue listening in the whole of Ramadan. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. La'allakum tattaqoon. That is why Allah Ta'ala prescribed fast. And Allah Ta'ala is saying that Jannat has been prepared for those people who have got the taqwa in them. And then in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala is giving just two or three sifat and attributes, and in other places many, many others, and all the benefits that go with the taqwa. Now here, this is the criterion, this is that yardstick that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving, as He has given in other ayat. In this ayat, that is the yardstick to measure whether these people have got taqwa or they haven't got. Our loud and bold claims mean nothing. I was explaining the other day that if somebody has to ask us that what is our opinion or what is our view or our understanding of taqwa, then we will say that the person who stands whole night in prayer, he's got a lot of taqwa. Or the person who makes a lot of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, then he's got a lot of taqwa. Or the person who makes hajj upon hajj and umrahs upon umrahs, then he is a very, very muttaqi person. That is our understanding. Or the person who gives a lot of charities, oh, what a muttaqi person that is. Now that is not the yardstick that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Now this is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he uses the word taqwa, then we have to understand it in its correct context. That the person fulfills the commands of Allah Ta'ala, whatever they are, whether it is with regards to namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, or whether it is with regards to the fulfillment of the rights of the people, the return of whatever is due to people, the proper distribution of inheritance, in the same way, truthfulness, honesty, everything. The person must have shukr, he must have zuhud, he must have qanaat, contentment, he must have sabr in his life, he must have shukr in his life, he must have all those things that Allah Ta'ala has ordered, plus he must restrain himself. That is the meaning. That fear of the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, now this person restrains himself from everything that is haram. Both the positive and the negative wires have to be there. Now when this person is restraining himself from haram, then we say the person has now got taqwa. Fulfillment of the commands and abstinence from everything that Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has declared haram. So then when these people have got taqwa, then Allah Ta'ala says, now He's going to give them their jannat there. So Allah Ta'ala in this ayah says, wal qazimeena al-ghayz, wal afina anin nas. And not only that, they just suppress their anger and keep quiet, but they even do some ihsan. They even do some good. Therefore, even in family relationships, sometimes some people, no matter how much good you do, But they are going to go on and on troubling and troubling. So at that time also it is said, Sul man qata'ak. You patch up with those who break off with you. Wa'fu amman zalamak. And whoever does zulm on you, then you overlook, forgive, forget. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ مَنْ أَسَىٰ إِلَيْكَ. And those people who do bad towards you, then you do good towards them. Make ihsan on them. But if somebody is always causing a problem, the person is becoming what we say as a pain in the neck. No matter how much of good you do, but that person doesn't have any sense of appreciation and consideration. With all our ihsan, with everything good that we do, but that person still causes injury and pain, and the person still keeps on going saying things and doing things which will cause a lot of harm and pain to us. Then of course Islam and Sharia being a very, very balanced deen, so Sharia is not going to say now that keep making sabr until your dying day and you are not allowed to take any kind of action, or you must forgive compulsory. Our deen is not like what was given to the people of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam or Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. In some deen it was compulsory. You have to forgive whether you like it or not. Now, how difficult that would have become. And in some deen it was necessary. You must take revenge. You must, somebody give you one slap, you must also give him one slap. In Islam it says that you are allowed to take revenge to the extent that you have been harmed. However, again, all the virtues of forgiveness have been mentioned. So wherever these type of ayat are mentioned, what it means is that there's great virtue if the person has to extend his hand now of ihsan even onto that person. Like in the case of Hazrat, the time is going so fast, like in the case of Hazrat Hussein bin Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, or Ali bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. His name was also Ali. So he's made his bandi, as they used to call it those days. So she was making him make wuzu. So they had that water jugs. So the water jug slipped out of her hand and fell on his head. So it caused him injury, it caused him bleeding. Now those maids also, Muslims, and of course they had the ta'aleem and ilm also. So when it fell, thus he got angry. This Ali bin Hazrat Hussein, he got angry. So the maid straight away read ayat of the Quran Sharif. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزُ. Now she read that ayat and they swallow their anger, they suppress their anger. So immediately he said that I've swallowed my anger. He said I've swallowed my anger. But then she straight away read the next verse. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they also forgive. They forgive, they overlook, they forgive. They make maaf. So he said, immediately, he said, I've made you maaf. But she was very intelligent, she went further. She said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah Ta'ala loves the doers of good, those who make ihsan. So he said, I freed you. You are azad. You are free now. Now on the one hand, it is the intelligence and the learning and the knowledge of an ordinary maid who was a slave woman. But look at them also, they had an understanding of the Quran Sharif. They had an understanding of the Quran Sharif that where, which ayat is applicable. With all our intelligence and with all our knowledge that we have, we don't even know where which ayat is applicable in our life. Sometimes we have so much of knowledge, whole Quran Sharif we know from beginning to end, and so much of Islamic literature we have read, and so much of books of Hadith Sharif and everything, we know everything. But we don't know when it will apply in our lives. Because the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif is not just some kind of literature that we read for increase of knowledge and that's all. There are different situations in our lives where this applies. Sometimes it will apply in our business, sometimes in our relationship with our wife and children, sometimes with our parents, sometimes in our home, sometimes in our travel, sometimes because the Quran Sharif was revealed in different places, on different occasions, and it deals with different situations. So look at this ordinary slave woman, but she knows exactly that this is the ayat now, which is applicable because I have caused him injury with this jug of water, that jug that fell on his head. So immediately she recites that ayat. There are so many incidents of this kind you will find in the books of Hadith Sharif and the books of Islamic literature. And so that is from her side, her kamal that was. And then look at the kamal of this grandson of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the kamal of his Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's grandson. Then look at his kamal now. That on the one hand she is reciting, and on the other hand he is applying it immediately. There is no delay also. There was no real need for him to free her at that time. It was not a Quranic injunction that he must free her. It was not a Quranic injunction that he must forgive her. He could have also taken some action. She caused him hurt, he could have caused her some hurt also. It was permissible. But they went for the maximum when it came to seeking rewards from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And for gaining Allah ta'ala's pleasure, they went to the extremes. And here immediately she is applying that which is virtuous. That she said, Qazimeen al-Ghayz, Allah ta'ala has said, so he said, I have swallowed my anger. They will afina anin nas, I have forgiven you. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Finish. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that they are the people who make ihsan, and they've got some taqwa, and Allah ta'ala has prepared the jannat for them, so I am giving you azadi and freedom. So this is what Islam is, this is what deen is. We are going to discuss anger at some length, but that will carry on after Zuhr Salat. But in any case, I conclude on one or two incidents, that if the person has to exercise control over his anger, then what will he get? Or what has been mentioned in the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Many ahadith there are. But if we just take one in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will announce that if any person has a right over me, then he must stand up. How can we imagine Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah in the presence of all those that are there, the millions or billions that are there, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, if anybody has got a right over me, then he must stand up and claim that right. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that nobody will be able to stand up. Nobody. What kind of claim can we have against Allah ta'ala? But those people who forgave, who overlooked, in spite of them having that power, they could have exercised their right and taken revenge or punished that person. I'm just giving you explanation. Or they could have also harmed the other person. But they didn't do that. They forgave it. They overlooked. They made maaf. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is His generosity, it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy which has no limit, that He says now, as if you have a right over me, and Allah ta'ala will reward them from His side. Now the rewards also in other ahadith, if we look, right in the middle of Jannat palaces for such kind of people. So what do we want? Do we want to just satisfy our nafs and our ego, that every little thing you say, I was angry. And especially the month of Ramadan, nobody says that we are not going to get angry, we are going to get angry. But at that moment, walk away from there, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, make wuzu, if you're standing, sit down, if you're sitting, lie down. Or the best is walk out from there, move that person away. Say, you are making me angry now, you rather better move away from my sight. Or we ourselves move away from there. Then if there is a need to express some anger, then plan it in the head that how much I'm going to say. instead of firing the bullets first and after that thinking, first think. How many at times, or in fact every time when a person gets angry and he fires away, saying all kinds of things, and then he regrets it. If he's got some sense in him, he regrets it. So why regret later? Now, how will we get this tolerance in us? That's where I conclude on. How do we get this tolerance? Human nature is such that we take from people. In the company and sohbet of people, we imbibe into ourselves some characteristics. The person who is a friend of a drug addict, sooner or later will become a drug addict. The person who is a friend of someone going to the cinemas, discos, theatres and gambling dens and rave clubs, sooner or later this friend will end up there. The person who is pious and righteous in his company, sooner or later this person will also become pious and righteous. Humul julasa la yashfa jaliso. So therefore, this person, now he must see who, with whom does he befriend. Now if his friend also is a person whose temper has got no limit, is always blowing his fuse over little things, and he's got such kind of anger that even shaitan feels that, I don't even have this much what this agent of mine has. Shaitan gave him khilafat also. Now if that kind of person we're going to befriend, then sooner or later we're also going to get the same kind of temper. So we must find those people also whom Allah Ta'ala has given tolerance, Allah Ta'ala has given some kind of tawazu in them, humility in them, sifat of forgiveness in them. Now in their company if the person will stay for some time, slowly he'll imbibe within himself the same sifat. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this Mubarak month of Ramadan fill our hearts with nur, barakat, rahmat, forgive our sins and bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most tolerant, most compassionate, most loving Allah. Forgive each and every one of us, my beloved Allah. The Mubarak days of Ramadan are going by. We haven't brought about any kind of change in our lives. No transformation has taken place as yet. We are still showing the same amount of negligence and indifference as we used to show before the month of Ramadan. My beloved Allah, our yaqeen has not increased. Our tawakkul has not increased. Our iman has not increased. Oh, my beloved Allah, we haven't still forsaken the sins. We haven't given up those haram and evils that were prevalent in our lives. But we are seeking forgiveness, my beloved Allah. The days which are gone, but the days which remain, give us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to you. To fast in the manner that is appropriate. To fast in the manner as instructed by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. To distance ourselves from everything that is sinful, everything that is shameless, everything that's indecent, obscene. Everything that is haram, my beloved Allah, especially in this month of Ramadan. Make it easy for us. You have done us a great favor that the evil shayateen are all chained up. But we have got absolutely no control over our nafs, my Allah. The habits that we have formed over the 11 months do not want to leave us even in this Mubarak month. ہم گنہگار ہے سیاکار ہے گندے ہے ناپاک ہے مجرم ہے خطاکار ہے سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے ہے تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں There is no one for us besides you, my Allah. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members. Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite the hearts of parents and children, of brothers and sisters, of the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Remove the pain, the suffering, the difficulties, the tests and the trials of the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Remove the difficulties of mankind around the globe, whether it's of AIDS, of famine, of drought, of floods. Bless each and every one with hidayat. Make everyone worthy of entry into Jannah. My beloved Allah, bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our time. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Shifa lies in your hands, my Allah. Bless us with complete purification of our heart from malice, greed, pride, arrogance, envy, jealousy. Whoever is sick and ailing, whether they're in hospitals, clinics, homes, whether it is due to accidents or operations they have undergone, or any other sickness that they are suffering, with your fazl and kindness and ihsan, give them complete shifa from all sicknesses. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulty. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach destination safely. Those who have gone for umrah, make their umrahs maqbool and maqbool. Those who are planning for hajj, make their hajj easy and make it maqbool. Remove the obstacles from their path. My beloved Allah, when the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram. Let our death be in Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he begged for the ummah. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspiration that are in the hearts of each and everyone who has raised his or her hand this part of the afternoon in this masjid or wherever they may be listening. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires. And those who have difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering, you are well aware of their pain and suffering. Ya Allah, with your fazl and kindness, remove their pain and suffering. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas sami'ul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Koi mujhse poochhe, main kya maangta hoon? Main apne khuda se khuda maangta hoon. Woh ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska. Yehi raat din mein dua maangta hoon. Sallallahu ta'ala ala khair khalqi sayyidina ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.